What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List podcast. It's Brian and Mario here to break down the Week 11 shenanigans and, of course, sprinkle in a little Week 12 waiver wire. Mario, how are you doing tonight?
Brian, I'm doing well, but I do actually have a problem this evening. And that's, I see a Christmas tree behind you, and we're not even at Thanksgiving yet.
Come on. How can we, this thing's been out for almost a week goodness. Now. It's time, folks. It's the merriness. I don't know. There's a joke in there somewhere. But yeah, come on. I've got to get the Christmas tree up. My wife actually found it in the attic. She goes, hey, I think we should donate this, or we can throw it in your office. I'm like, bingo, option two. Let's get that bad boy
gosh.
Up.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I can put on some Thanksgiving ornaments if that makes you happy.
Thanksgiving's lives matter, and maybe it's because my birthday's on Thanksgiving this year, so I'm extra impartial, but come on, we gotta give the turkey its day.
I'm looking out for the turkey. I'm trying to save a turkey's life or two. Come on, there's little baby turkeys running around there wanting their dad, not on your table, but they want them out in the farm, so...
Oh my gosh.
We're supporting them.
Yeah, we'll get those bumper stickers.
Absolutely. We're also supporting your fantasy teams here, folks. We're gonna go through some booms, going through some busts, talk about those injuries, unfortunately, and how to clean those up with the waiver wire. But of course, as we do here, we're starting off with the boom, starting off with the excitement. So Mario, give me a quarterback that blew you away this week.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to begin with the unlikely hero. And there's a couple of those in the top 12, but the one to me is going to be Jacoby Brissett. You know, we kind of talked about him in the sit start segments where it's like, yes, he had a great matchup against Dallas. Can he really keep this up? If he has to throw the ball 57 times, including an NFL record 47 completions, good things are going to happen. 452 yards, a pair of touchdowns, a pair of picks too. But listen, if you're throwing the ball 57 times, that's bound to happen. So as of now, before Monday Night Football, quarterback 3 on the week, available in 19% of, only rostered in 19% of leagues. So I loved Brissett here.
Wild. And you touched on the NFL record, kind of blew me away when I heard it. It was like, wow, 47, that's a lot. But you know, you didn't, I for some reason I figured, you know, Manning or Brady or Breeze maybe had done more than that, but like, not just the 47 completions, 82% completion percentage. That's what blew my mind.
Crazy.
Brisket's cooking out there. Honestly, yum. There's three guys that really need some compliments on this week, and it's hard to steer away from both of them here. So I am going to give Bryce Young a shout out here with 448 yards passing. But the guy we're here to talk about, he's often on this list. He's QB1 often enough, but how many times does someone do this? Three passing touchdowns, 317 yards through the air, 40 through the ground. Oh, and did I mention his three touchdowns on the ground? The only player to ever do this twice now, Josh Allen, QB1 on the week going into Monday.
Unbelievable. I mean, 44 points. This is what you drafted him for, right? Like this just in time to start saving your season, just to get you in that playoff push. So we love Josh. I mean, 44 points, just truly a league of his own.
Kind of odd too. Like these are the only three quarterbacks that scored over 20 points. Like there was a huge drop off here going into Justin Fields. We got him at QB4, Brock Purdy at number 5. Then we're dropping down to 17 points with Baker, Jordan Love, Marcus Mariota at 8, Davis Mills back up in the top 10.
Davis Mills?
Jeez, Trevor Lawrence at 10, Drake May at 11 with 15 points, and then Jalen Hurts coming in at QB12, potentially getting knocked out of this list after tonight, but 14.5 points as a QB1. It's not great.
Yeah, it's not, and Jalen Hurts, honestly, like, so he... It was like a Saquon had a pretty sick touchdown run that was called just short, like half a yard short. So you have to think if that did go to Saquon, Jalen Hurts is up here with 8 points. So it is a crazy week.
Absolutely bizarre.
Something I want to just call out before we get to the other positions. But Justin Fields, he, like you said, he was quarterback 5 on the week, couldn't save his job. It sounds like he's going to be benched for Tyrod Taylor. Like you would think QB5 would be enough, but... I guess he plays Madden, not fantasy. The GM.
Whirlwind going on there in New York. They can't get out of the season fast enough. Like Aaron Glenn is just fingers crossed he can make it all the way to January.
Oh, man.
Goodness. Let's go to the running backs. Give me a guy that blew you away this week.
Oh, my goodness. So here I will go chalk. I'm going to go with the undisputed number one so far before Monday night, but I think he's going to hold it. Sean Tucker. You know, we kind of talked about in the sit starts, like I thought, hey, Bucky Irving is going to miss the day. Rashard White, slam him. And you pointed out White was kind of slipping, was kind of not really producing. Sean Tucker was the first running back to get 50 yards against the Patriots last week. Maybe we're going to build off that. Oh, he built off that. Finished the day with 3 touchdowns, 33 points even. Great for Shaw Tucker. Unbelievable.
Yeah, not great for wide owners. Not great for wide owners with this. Yeah, I just couldn't believe. I mean, Buffalo, they've been gashed by running backs all season long. So, like, you had to hope that White, maybe Tucker helped out a little bit. But, no, this was 44% of snaps. Took care of business there. I mean, Chris McCaffrey's here, RB2, but who wants to talk about him? He's always up there. I want to talk about our Thursday appearance here. Another player that had three touchdowns. All three of these guys in the top three have. Travion Henderson has arrived. 93 Finally. All-purpose yards, two rushing touchdowns, and a receiving touchdown. Played 88% of snaps. This guy is for real, but can he hold back Ramondre Stevenson as he heads back to practice this week?
Oh, my goodness. I don't think anybody could hold back Mike Vrabel's love for Stevenson, so we'll have to see what happens there.
Goodness. Crazy stuff. Bijan also came in at RB4. Kenneth Gainwell stepped in as RB5. We have Travis Etienne, Derrick Henry, Devon Achane, James Cook. Hey, look at that.
Who's Kenneth this name?
Walker. Kenneth Walker at number 10 with over 100 all-purpose yards and a touchdown. That's right.
Can you get those?
Devin Singletary comes in at 11 and Jahmyr Gibbs at 12. Any other running backs you want to highlight here or anything else you want to touch on?
Yeah, I do also want to just give credit. You mentioned Devin Singletary at 11. Tyrone Tracy at 14. You know, we kind of talk about, it's like, feels like every other week, it's like, which one of these guys do we start? Maybe with Jameis, you could start them both. Who knows? But that's something to monitor. It's something we'll talk about later in the show.
It's just a huge drop-off, too, at running back. Like, we're quickly into the low double digits. And, like, by RB25, we're less than 10 points. It's a
down bad right now. Yeah, it is.
Going to wide receiver, give me that boom. Give me the guy that saved your week.
That saved my week. I mean, I talked about the Arizona quarterback. Might as well talk about the Arizona wide receiver, Michael Wilson. This was kind of one where it was like, oh, man, we know MH2 is recovering from appendicitis. So it's like, do we take the chance with Michael Wilson? Fortune favors the bold. If you did take the chance, you got a guy that had 18 targets, 15 catches, 185 yards. Brissett has just done things that Kyler Murray never dreamed of with this offense, and it's truly shocking to all of us watching. So Michael Wilson finished with 26 points even. What a week for the guy. No touchdowns, too. That's one of the most impressive parts to me on this.
I hate when your guy's completing 47 passes, you know. You got to have a pretty good share of that. 15 catches, that's awesome.
15 catches.
Got to bring up the rookie. We're in that part of the year. It's rookie season. These guys are really blowing up, and career highs across the board for Tet McMillan. 8 receptions, 130 yards, 12 targets. Still has not had a single touchdown game because he had 2 in this one. This is the second game with touchdowns, and of course he doubled up against 29 points coming in at wide receiver 1 on the week.
What a problem to have is if he finds the end zone, he has to find it again. There's just no world where he can only find it once, and then it's like, hey, that's enough for me.
Yeah, he doesn't like odd numbers, I guess. That's fine. I'm cool with that. Nico Collins coming in at wide receiver 3. Christian Watson, number 4. 2 touchdowns, only 46 yards. So Jameson Williams continues his streak up here at the top at wide receiver 5. Then we have Debo. Tyrell Shavers? Really?
That's a new name for me.
Xavier Leggett at 8. JSN, Greg Dortch. So we had two Cardinals up here at the top 10. Drake London at 11, and then Stephon Diggs finishing at wide receiver 12.
Two Cardinals, also 2 Panthers. Tet at 1 and Xavier at 8. You know, these are just two teams. If I would have thought, can their quarterback support 2 fantasy viable wide receivers? I'd say no. And not only did they support, they were terrific.
So you're saying the QB2 and QB3 had multiple top 12 appearances by a wide receiver. What happened with Josh Allen? Hey, Josh, come here, buddy. Can you explain this to me? We got Shavers up here. At
yeah, we got Shavers.
Where is your other wide receiver support? Where is your receiving help at all? Because Josh Palmer, we got excited about that one. That was a dud. I don't even want to talk about what happened with Khalil Shakir. Keon Coleman was a healthy scratch because he missed a meeting before this game. Dalton Kincaid was out. I get he ran in 3 of them. He tossed 1 to James Cook, but goodness, can we not share the wealth a bit here, you selfish guy?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so the second highest ranked wide receiver on Buffalo is Gabe Davis. Hashtag the return down at wide receiver 45.
Goodness, that's terrible.
You know what though? Not bad company. He's right next to Amon-Ra St. Brown, so maybe that's just jumping ahead, but
I mean, talent knows talent right there. Tight end, give it to me. Who's your top tight end for the week?
My top tight end for the week, it has to be the one, the only. I'm just on a Cardinals tear, but Trey McBride. Again, just like Kyler Murray could not figure it out. Kyler Murray never realized the talent he was surrounded with. Brisket has seen talent. He was in those dark times in like New England as backups and just all over the place. So he's taking advantage. McBride, 11 targets, 10 catches, 115 yards, the touchdown. He's out here saving your season. Because earlier it was, you were down bad. You know, like the Kyler Murray thing was just not working for you. But since Brissett has taken over, I mean, Trey McBride is easily the set and forget-est tight end of the market.
First 5 weeks with Kyler Murray, Trey McBride had one touchdown. The following 5 weeks that he's had Brissett, he's got 6 touchdowns in 5 weeks. This is incredible. Like, we thought Trey McBride was good last year with no work in the end zone. And now we're getting this? Like, this is absurd. He's been outside of the tight end three, or out of the top three once. He was tight end 6 since Brissett's taken over. It's a pace, man. Kyler, you know, rest up, man. Have fun playing Call of Duty.
If your floor is 6, that's not a bad floor.
That is wild. George Kittle. Back-to-back great weeks for him. 6 catches, 67 yards, 2 touchdowns for him. I mean, this game was, we had points and points galore out of this one. Not necessarily where we all predicted it from, but points nonetheless. Travis Kelce comes in at tight end 3. Mark Andrews at 4. AJ Barner. Darnell Washington, welcome to the top 6. Kobe Parkinson comes in here at 7 with 1 touchdown and 14 yards. It gets ugly quick, folks. Dalton Schultz at 8, Chigakonkwo at 9, Cole Kmet at 10, Josh Wiley at 11,
that's why,
and Hunter Henry at 12. Yeah, tight end was kind of booty. It was booty outside of the top, what, 3 players this week?
It truly was. And just going to, we'll give it to like the top 4 players. Mark Andrews, this is now his 3rd straight week since the touchdown. So it turns out he might just be a Lamar merchant, but it's working.
It was on the ground, too. This was a 35-yard rush. Not even 50 yards. Lamar didn't even get credit for this one, unfortunately.
It was like a fake sneak, but it was a sick player to witness, so credit to him.
And we don't always highlight defenses here, but I am going to throw out Pittsburgh defense number 1 on the week, shutting down Joe Flacco with 12 points, 22 points for the Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
Yeah, they look good. It was a good week for defenses. I mean, there's a couple, looks like 3 had double digits, a few had 9, quite a few had 9, so good week for defenses.
All right, let's flush that toilet. Let's get rid of these turds. Let's talk about them. Quarterback that disappointed you the most this week. Who was it?
Oh, man. I mean, we talked about being a Lamar merchant. It's a good thing that Mark Andrews is becoming self-sufficient on this week, because Lamar, after his first game back against Miami, finishes QB9. You're thinking, this is the low end of what I'm about to experience. Turns out that was the peak, folks, because after that, at Minnesota, QB15. Okay, Minnesota's a good defense. You know, we respect Brian Flores over there. And then this, we knew it was a tough matchup at Cleveland, but 6.7 points right now, quarterback 27 for Lamar. If you were down bad from his injury, this is not the resuscitation you needed to get back into the playoff push.
My defense for him when, like, this whole, like, it's Cleveland, divisional game.
Yeah.
These games can be tough, especially defensively. So I'm kind of shaking it off. They got the win. They're still in the playoff hunt. They're still, you know, a game and a half behind the Steelers. So whatever. Hopefully you made it through. Hopefully it wasn't a chop league that you had him in. It didn't hurt you too bad. And we're moving forward with Lamar.
Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely not benching him after this, but I'll say it hurt you. What do you have?
I want to talk about a fella.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this guy. This guy who couldn't even outthrow Justin Fields. Yeah, a guy who only finished 81 yards on the game.
Oh,
for
man.
For the game. He's got 4 pretty good to great pieces on to throw it to. 21 yards on the ground. I'm talking Justin Herbert in this embarrassment of, as you were talking about the rematch, man, from the playoff game. 6-35, they got their hiney smacked too. Justin Herbert, not very good. 4 points on the week.
The ghost of Brandon Staley was in the building, and he like that must have been what it was. But yeah, this was definitely one of the most abysmal ones. 81 yards. I had to double check who you were talking about. I was like, Shador had 47. Like that's, you know, like wasn't that much, but it was bad for Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I was gonna say we'll pick on Shador after he has a full week to get it figured out. Where is Staley? Oh, he's defensive coordinator for the Saints. That's right.
Ah, okay. One other person I do want to just give a little bit of a bust shout out to, and he wasn't even terrible. He got you 13.1 quarterback, 15 on the week, and you're kind of expecting quarterback to, at least I was, but Jared Goff, the biggest thing I just want to call out here is he had 37 pass attempts, 14 completions, good for a percentage of 37.8. Going into this week, Jared Goff actually led the league in completion percentage, so to see him have far and away the lowest out of the top. Oh my goodness. Do you have to go all the way down to Shador in QB 31 to find a quarterback with a lower completion percentage?
I believe he finished the game only completing 2 of his final 20 passes. Rough. Sam Darnold also giving it away everywhere. four interceptions for him in a close 2-point loss to the Rams.
That's tough.
It's tough. Let's go to running backs. Let's talk about them. Who disappointed you? Who let you down this week?
A big one that let me down. I'm going to give it to Woody Marks. He's the one we kind of talked about winning that job over in Houston. We knew Davis Mills, like the offense operates through Davis Mills, as we've seen when he's in the field. But this was one I just had high hopes for, coming off a great game against Jacksonville. He had a great matchup at Tennessee, and he just totally squandered it. 18 attempts. You love seeing that. It was actually his highest rushing attempts on the year. Only 44 yards. Good for 2.4 yards per carry. One of his lowest. His lowest actually since week 7. So really abysmal. This was, like I said, this was one I thought was like a nice sneaky, hey, Jonathan Taylor's out. You know, you picked up Woody Marks earlier. Like you won't even notice a difference in your lineup. Turns out you did. So definitely a huge blow for me.
My disappointment, it hurts me to say this because looking back at his numbers, it's like, wow, it hasn't been as good as I feel like everybody, the hype is built around him. Quinshon Judkins. Yeah. Let's talk about his RB37 finish on the week. 17 attempts, 59 yards, 2 targets, 0 catches, no touchdowns, 5.9 points. Looking back, he hasn't been an RB2 but once. Or he was RB4 back in week 7. But 4 of his last 5 games, he hasn't topped RB25.
No, and it's crazy. I remember talking with Nick on one of these. It's like, if we're doing, it was probably right after week 5 when he finished quarterback or running back 19. And it's like, if we were doing a redraft, like, you know, we thought Judkins would be a top guy. And like you said, these past couple of weeks have just been abysmal. You kind of talked about it like a decent matchup here, Baltimore, but it's like, if we thought he'd be matchup proof, we thought what we saw was just going to be undeniable, but we're kind of seeing as the quarterback position unravels in Cleveland, as does everything.
And this, honestly, like before the all his legal troubles and all that that really killed his ADP, this was my big reason I didn't want to draft him to begin with, was just there. He's capped with no receiving work. You know, he's had a couple of games where he's gotten some targets. You know, he's had 2 catches for 10 yards, 3 for -2, a game where he had 4 catches for 33. But outside of that, like, he doesn't get it done in the passing game. And it's
no.
At that point, he's just a younger, more talented Jordan Mason. You know, like, it just, it's hard to really excel in fantasy football without that pass catching ability. And if you're not going to have the positive game script, Derrick Henry, he's making a career off of it, but he's only
15. I was going to say,
he's in a positive game script. He's down there with the touchdowns. Judkins hasn't had a touchdown since week 7 when he had 3.
Oh man. Yeah. It's bad. Like you, I did think of Derrick Henry when you said that, but it's like, there's only so many Derrick Henrys out there at any given moment, and no shade on Judkins, but he's not Derrick Henry. Not yet anyways.
And I do want to bring up Kamani Vidal, like 2.2 points, horrible there in that Chargers effort. But honestly, should we be mad? Like, we try to overanalyze and try to overthink so much of all these metrics. It's simple. You start them, you don't start them. You start them, you don't start them. You start them, you don't start them. Now, the hard issue is they're going into a bye.
Oh, no.
Does the bye week count as his good week? And will it be good when he comes out of week 13? Or will that be another bad week? But right now, that is all we're leaning on. Hopefully, Hampton comes back in week 13. But news will tell.
That's such a good point. Is he an odd even week merchant, or is he an every other week merchant? That's a really good question. Oh man.
So much. And folks, we will dive into the odds and the evens of the numbers. We'll make sure we got that ready for you next week.
Oh, I love it.
Wide receivers, who burned you?
I kind of gave a little bit of Amon-Ra, like just talked about him. Wide receiver 47. He got to target, so we can't blame him. 12 targets, only brought in two of them. It was a tough day for Jared Goff out there. They really just kind of bullied him. The Eagles defensive line, it looked great, but he's probably going to be my number one. The second guy I will give it a quick shout out to, Parker Washington. This was another game where I think Brian Thomas Jr. was a late scratch. So we're like, hey, the Washington experience, you know, like dollar dollar bills, y'all, like, you know, we're going to keep it going. Parked right here. And it was absolutely abysmal. And you look at the game score, you would have thought it's like Jacksonville must have tossed all over him. And 3 points, abysmal day, only two targets. To me, that's the scariest part, because you're going back the last 4 weeks, or excuse me, the last like three matchups, 7 targets, 9 targets, 10 targets, 2 targets. You just can't do nothing with that.
It's rough. It's, you know, wide receivers, they're fluky, they're up, they're down, they're gonna hurt you some weeks. But oh man, I got a couple here actually I want to bring up.
Yeah,
so one, we're not really yelling at the player. Roma Dunze, you're not even involved in this conversation. Daddy Odunze, where were you on Twitter? Where were you to harp at the coach a little bit? Because yeah, 2 receptions, 41 yards for Roma Dunze, not great. I feel like I see more, oh, he almost caught that in the end zone for Odunze than I need to. Like, so many opportunities for him to have a decent game, which didn't work out. But the player I want to talk about here, he had 3 catches, 30 yards, and 1 loogie that came shooting out of his mouth. Catch you a suspension, man. There, Jamar Chase. Watch yourself, man. There. 4.5 points and a 0 next week.
Has to be, because we've already set the precedent back in week 1. Jalen Carter, when he retaliated a spit, by the way. And we don't talk about that enough. Dax spat first, but Jalen Carter was basically suspended the game. The NFL kind of went out and said, it's like, hey, he was kicked before the first snap. This counts as a 1-game suspension, essentially. So the precedent's been set. We can kind of see the writing on the wall for Jamar, and that's a great one. That's a great one. 10 targets, 3 catches.
Yikes. Goodness. Not what I expected from that Cincinnati defense at all.
Nope.
Tight ends. Who did it? Or you got any more wide receivers you want to bring up?
No. I just was already going to tight ends. And this is one, it's kind of an interesting situation, because can you be a bust if there was no expectations in the first place? But some people are delusional and have expectations. But right now, tight end 36 was Kyle Pitts. Oh. I don't know what people are doing, if they still throw him in his lineup. You know, he's right there, sandwiched between Pat Freiermuth and Noah Gray. So got 3 targets, brought in 2 of them. Maybe Kirk can help him out next week. I doubt it. So Kyle Pitts, yeah, my bust of the week.
Shocker. I set you up with that one. You know what, then? Fine. I'm going to double down on you then.
Oh, no.
My bust of the week, Dallas Goedert. 2 catches, 24 yards. Tight end 30. Look, Philly, we were giving you grief.
Man.
We said fix the offense. We said don't highlight Goedert, highlight the other two. What did you do? You highlighted no one. You just left the paper blank. There's not a single highlighter on there.
No.
Now we can't even play the tight end. The running back's useless nearly. The wide receivers are scarce. And now the tight end is just dwindling away.
Whatever. I blame this on AJ Brown. We saw how forced AJ Brown was getting all of these balls. Like, as an Eagles fan, just screaming at my television. It's just like, what are you guys doing? Just like, it's not there. We saw AJ Brown give up on a go route in like the second drive of the game. It's like, what are you doing? Dallas Goedert was at least catching balls. So frustrating. So that's it. Dallas Goedert, we forgive you. We don't forgive Kevin Petula. Listen to all the Twitter merchants.
I saw a stat since going back to like last year, the 2024 season. Any game where AJ Brown has more than 8 targets or more, they haven't lost a game where AJ Brown has less than 8 targets. The Eagles haven't. When they've won, or when they have thrown him to 8 or more times, they're like 8-4 or something like that.
Listen, AJ Brown's got to accept his role. Like, sometimes we just need a 6 slant, you know, like Michael Thomas and the Saints. It's like, listen, you can do that really well and make a career off of it.
Is he going to New England after this year? Are they going to win a Super Bowl and then ship him off?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, at this point, I don't think so, but
imagine if they send him back to Tennessee. Cam Ward needs a number one.
Punishment. That'd be punishment.
No Vrabel, nobody.
Oh my gosh. Maybe we get the ghost of Calvin Ridley in exchange.
Right. Awesome. That was our booms and busts for the week, folks. We're going to injuries. Now, folks, these four teams, they aren't injured, but you might as well treat them like they're injured. Broncos, Dolphins, Chargers, Commanders. Yeah, can't
Full
play
team.
Them.
Full team injured.
The good news is you can play your Colts and you can play your Saints. I don't know if you can play Saints. Your Saints, but you can play your Colts.
That's funny.
Let's start with some injury here. Josh Jacobs left the game with the knee injury. They're saying it's not too bad. Might just miss a game, maybe two, but definitely something to keep an eye on here.
Yeah, huge one to keep an eye on because Jacobs is truly one of the bell cows of the NFL, the fantasy world. So we'll be looking for who his replacement will be. That's a big one. And just keeping in Green Bay, seems like Jordan Love got a little banged up. It was his shoulder. Was it his throwing shoulder, non-throwing shoulder? I didn't catch it.
I believe it was his non-throwing shoulder, but let me confirm that.
All right. So while you do, that's just going to be something to monitor. Malik Willis did see some time, I believe. I expect Love to be back next week, but this is just something to keep an eye on throughout the week.
Yeah, this team needs to start picking up a few more wins there. They're falling behind.
Yeah, falling behind the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, buddy, 7-3 Bears. Who saw that coming?
I did not. while you continue to look that up, I'm going to just keep going down the list. So Calvin Ridley, mentioned him. He's going to be the ghost of Calvin Ridley because it seems like he's going to be out for the season with an ankle injury. Huge blow to the Titans. I mean, we weren't really starting Titans in fantasy anyways, but huge blow for Cam Ward and just Titans fans. But unless they're going for that number one pick again, back-to-back, could be helpful.
Oh, Michael Penix and Drake London, man, that's a pair to lose.
Yeah, that is bad. Penix looks like he's going to be on IR. I saw a stat, I think Schefter tweeted this out, credit to him. In 8 seasons Penix has played at the college or professional level, he's had 5 season-ending injuries across those 8.
That was one of the little bugaboos on him coming into the draft, you know, being that's as old as crazy. He was as well. Like, it's unfortunate. Like, we're going to see it as the years go on. 12 quarterbacks or 6 quarterbacks going in the first 12 picks is absurd. We did not have that talented of a quarterback class. A lot of those guys were significantly older, and injuries were kind of the reason that they were in college for as long as they were.
Yeah, everybody's looking for the next Tony Rich is what the problem is. yes, you mentioned London. He has a sprained PCL. Seems like he's going to miss a minimum of this week, but definitely something to monitor.
Jaylen Warren, this one hurts. Ankle, evidently he could have returned. We saw Gainwell plug in, as we saw, I think it was the international game where he plugged in for him, kind of took over. I don't know what to do with the situation. If he's a little banged up and going out there, are we going to start getting more of a 50-50 split? Can we just have Warren sit for a couple weeks and rock Gainwell? We're going to have to watch the reports, watch Arthur Smith. He's a tricky fella.
He truly is. So this is one we'll hopefully have more info with the sit start later on. There's a couple guys still in concussion protocol I want to talk about. Jackson Dart. I can't imagine they're going to rush this young man back since he's definitely their future. And Jameis Winston's just too fun to watch. So he's someone I expect to miss at least one more week. And then CJ Stroud's kind of an interesting one because he's missed 2 weeks because of concussion protocol. I feel like that's kind of like the standard before someone can return. But the Texans play Thursday night. So with that kind of short week, I'm not sure if Stroud will make it back. And Mills has looked good. David Mills has looked decent enough this week. So I just definitely something to monitor this week.
I mean, you see on Twitter, you know, all the jokes, but like the talk of a soft benching, like, is that what this is? Is this kind of like, well, we're doing pretty good without CJ Stroud right now. Maybe we just see how the cards lay. I don't know, but Davis Mills has done pretty good job over the last couple
weeks. He's done a great job. He understands the assignment of get the ball to Nico, right? Like, we talk about that all the time with the backups of like Joe Flacco. It's like, listen, there's the, like, you're playing Madden. It's like, just mash your first read.
And CJ, come on. You play against Trevor Lawrence twice a year. That's all he does is throw to his first read target. Come on. Follow suit, dude. Come on.
Oh, man.
Aaron Rodgers, wrist injury. He left the game. 50-50 is the quote we're getting from him. Whether or not, you know, how he is doing, whether or not he plays this week. Something to monitor there. Rudolph. Honestly, does it really make a difference if Rudolph's out there or Rodgers? Because all we want to do is play Warren. Metcalf has been meh.
Yeah, he's been Metcalf, yeah. The only thing I'll say is that this week, Pittsburgh's taking on Chicago. So if anything, there is a difference. That's the only reason there would be a difference. Because you just know Aaron Rodgers can't can't stop hurting Chicago. So, and it was his left wrist, his non-throwing wrist, he has the issue in. So that's the only thing giving him hope. Because it's Chicago, I think there's a chance he plays, but something to monitor.
Yeah, he would love to just go in there and play spoiler to their great season so far.
Oh, he'd love that.
And then the last one, Bryce Young, he did return in the game, but it's an ankle injury, so just something to monitor. Panthers are right on the throat of the Buccaneers for that division. I think they're going to keep pushing it down. They're going to keep rolling with Rico, keep rolling with Tet. You called at the beginning of the season that they were going to make a push for this division. I am thoroughly impressed by a handful of the wins, and then others I just am astonished that they get destroyed.
They can't be favorites. That's the trick. As soon as they become favorites, fade them. But when they're underdogs, that's where these cats thrive. One last thing, injury adjacent, but Ramondre Stevenson, we talked about him. He should return to practice this week, especially after like the pseudo bye the team played on Thursday. And I believe Kayshon Boutte as well should be returning to practice. I believe he missed the last 2 weeks, so just another couple friendly faces returning to practice.
Boutte. Yeah, all right, let's get in this waiver wire. We've got a slew of names for you, folks, so listen tight. And all of these running backs, they're going to be different. This is going to be some players if you need a one-week plug-in, if you need an injury replacement, if you're looking for something long-term, or if you're looking for a handcuff. Every team, roster, construction, record is different for these teams, so follow along. Here we go. Who's your number one?
So my number one in terms of running back is going to be Emmanuel Wilson. So we kind of talked about it at the top of the show. Josh Jacobs exited the game in the second quarter due to the knee injury. From what I've heard, it doesn't seem like it's a major injury. It seems like no surgery is required, so that's great. And the Packers, listen, their season's starting to get on the line. We talked about it. They're slipping behind the Bears. The Lions aren't going anywhere. Maybe the Vikings already went somewhere and they don't have to worry about them, but I'm just going to be really curious to see what they do about Josh Jacobs. I expect him to miss at least a week, possibly more. And we saw after he left, Emmanuel Wilson was the only running back to take a carry. The third string guy, I forgot his name, but he actually took a carry early on while Josh Jacobs was still in the game. That's why he has one on the stat sheet. So Emmanuel Wilson, this Packers offense, it's high powered, at least it should be, right? So I'm really excited about it. I think Wilson was the top running back to target and across all situations.
And another name to monitor is Marshawn Lloyd. He is their day two running back that they took last year in the draft. He's been on IR like his entire career. It's been so upsetting because I was actually pretty excited about the talent from him. But he was dealing with the hamstring, could be designated to return this week. Something to watch. So like if Emmanuel Wilson, if you're not looking to drop a whole lot of fab, if you don't need a full fill in, you just want to drop 5-ish%, maybe you look at Marshawn Lloyd as well. He might come in here and come get 50% of this workload for this team. I did like him as a prospect. I thought he was pretty talented.
I like that. The young man. Another running back I'm kind of excited about is Devin Singletary. And this is kind of an interesting one because I feel like it's every other week we're talking about the other Giants backfield person. But this week, you know, I'm feeling really good about Devin Singletary. And the big reason why is two reasons. First, Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston understands the assignment of just we're moving the ball down the field. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be turnovers every which way, but he will get you into the red zone. What's going to happen when you get into the red zone? Red zone opportunities exist there. And that's where Devin Singletary thrived this past week. He actually had 9 carries and 1 target in the red zone. So 10 opportunities, more than any other player across the NFL this week. Tyrone Tracy had 1 opportunity. He didn't do anything with it. Now, I will say in terms of, in terms of just backfield split, Tracy did have 3 more carries throughout the game and double the rushing yard. So I do think there's some value in both of these guys, and both should be available in waivers. But like I said, in fantasy, we kind of chase these touchdowns, especially red zone opportunities. Devin Singletary got far and away the boatload. So he would be my second running back to target after Wilson.
Yeah, I like that. Your guy, Chris Rodriguez, I do need to bring him up.
He's
being owned in more and more leagues. But the backfield split in week 11, 30 touches to Chris Rodriguez, 18 to JCM, and then McNichols got 17. Chris Rodriguez looked so good. He looked so good on Sunday. Granted, it was Miami. A lot of teams can look good against Miami, but regardless, they have a juicy I mean, juicy matchup going through the playoffs. So we might get to the point where we have enough hope and security built into Rodriguez going forward into the playoffs.
I love that. And I was just, just piling on about how he's a playoff stash. Just, he would have been in my top five as I'm doing the article. It's out now, so give it a look at QB list at football.pitcherlist.com. Yeah. But Chris Rodriguez, he missed out on being a top five waiver target because he's on bye this week. Not great. Comes back, he goes at Denver. So that's just a matchup you're not excited about. But like you said, really, once we get over that hump, he has a terrific playoff schedule. So if you're looking ahead, Rodriguez is one of my top guys.
Yeah, probably. I mean, there's a good chance that he's higher owned, but could be dropped over the next couple weeks, whether it be before the bye or that bad matchup, like you said. So I love that call, too.
Thank you.
Others to highlight, Kenneth Gainwell, we brought him up. You know, watches Jaylen Warren, but he seems like he can fill in just fine. Sometimes I feel like he actually looks better. So I'm kind of thrown off by that one. I don't want Tajay Spears. I don't want to bring him up.
Oh man, Tajay Spears every week feels like he's in my like others receiving votes for just someone to monitor because the situation should be there. It's just this offense is anemic to anything positive. So really deep leagues, he has some value because one of these weeks I do think he'll take off, but it's not pretty, folks. You got to watch Titans games.
Yeah, I don't envy the what we saw who gets stuck with that one. That's the true hero of the season is whoever's been doing the majority of the Titans games on what we saw.
Oh Lord.
And folks, if you don't read the what we saw and you don't want to watch every single game because some of them are kind of miserable, the best way to do it over there on football.pitcherlist.com.
Yes, definitely.
We've got Bam Knight.
That it hits, yeah.
Coming. I mean, of course, all Cardinals crushed this week, it seemed like. But I thought it was DeMarcado was going to be the guy. Maybe it's Bam Knight. Do you even want to mess with this backfield? Like, unless it's break glass.
Oh, man.
And Trey Benson isn't back. Like, I don't know if I want to mess with this backfield at all.
Could be it's so tough.
In week 12 for Trey Benson is the last report we just got.
It's really tough because we've seen week after week, someone is a viable fantasy starter. I don't have what the finish was for Bam Knight, but it was... running back 20. So you're happy with the running back 2 performance. The last couple of weeks, it's been DeMarcado putting up RB2 numbers. There is value. So especially in deeper leagues, it could be worth the gamble, but it feels like just when you think a rhythm is starting to be established, it turns out it's another guy. So it is one I'm still monitoring in deeper leagues. So I do like the Bam Knight call.
I had to put Bashaw Tootin back on the list. I know I talked about dropping
addicted.
Him a couple of last week. But I'm not trying to go out and actively drop him. You know, with a lot of these running backs, especially the rookies, you don't want to drop them. Just some situations, it's where it sits between bye weeks, injuries, stuff like that. So I want to bring him back up. That he looked good, got another touchdown this past week. The disparity between the snaps closed drastically this past week. So he is getting more work. We are getting into that second half of the season. Yada yada. Same thing we say about all these rookies.
Yada yada.
Bashaw Tootin. I think he's as great as any dart throw you could take with these running backs.
Absolutely. And he has that handcuff bonus, right? Like that's something we talk about a lot, especially at this point. Like Brian Robinson is a name. We're not going to dive too much into it, but just the handcuff. He's going to be skyrocket to the number one guy if anything happens in San Fran. Another name could be worth mentioning, Sean Tucker, right? Like he just had 33 points. I think you mentioned he had 44-ish% of the snap count. He's been kind of, that was his highest of the season. It looks like before this was 32, 34. The biggest question mark though is just Bucky Irving. He's making flashes at practice. If he doesn't return, do we trust, this is getting ahead of ourselves now, because it's not the sit start pod, but you know, Sean Tucker could be someone we maybe throw out there next week at the Rams.
Oh yeah, it's the Rams matchup. So that's just not fun, especially if that's Bucky's first week back. Report as of just a few hours of this recording, he will be worked back in more during this practice. Foot and shoulder, still waiting for him to be able to take full hits. Gross. Of course, he's going to come back and play against the Rams in that first week.
Oh, man, that's ugly. Okay. I think that's a vast majority of my running backs. Otherwise, it's just the same old handcuff spiel of the Corums, the Brian Robinsons, and Algiers.
Ollie Gordons, yeah.
Ollie Gordon's a good one.
Let's talk wide receivers. Let's talk Alec Pierce coming off the bye. Folks, if you were smart and snappy, you picked him up Sunday night before waivers closed on you, or Monday, however that works for you on your leagues. But Alec Pierce coming off the bye is in a lot of those leagues. He's looking good. He's quietly crushing it out there. for you. So I am trying to pick him up, acquire him wherever I have him, where I don't have Michael Pittman. But Alec Pierce needs to be owned. Snatch him up.
Definitely. Over the last 4 weeks, he is averaging just under 8.75 targets a game, 91.5 yards. So I absolutely love seeing that. He's producing without touchdowns is kind of the biggest thing I'm observing, because Jonathan Taylor is just hogging them all. He's not letting anyone else on that team get any, but Alec Pierce is someone I really like in this offense.
Yeah, one touchdown all season, and he's given you wide receiver 14, 15, 38, 22 over the last 4 weeks. And like you said, 91 yards a game, like as an average, that's a pretty nice floor.
It's crazy. You love seeing that. He's actually, and you mentioned, like, he's coming off the bye, so hopefully you snagged him beforehand. If not, this is a great opportunity. He's my number two wide receiver target I'm looking at this week. My number one.
Give me that one.
Yeah, number one is also a Wilson, so it's a great week for the Wilson brothers. Michael Wilson over in Arizona. We kind of talked about last week, like, you know, is he worth the dart throw? Like, do you want to take a chance with Brissett throwing him the ball? We're seeing Brissett. Listen, he's not going to have 47 completions, an NFL record, every single week. But it's clear that this offense just trusts Brissett to just let it rip. And it doesn't seem like Kyler's coming back anytime soon. Brissett's great for this offense. Wilson seems to be the head and shoulders number one guy. Like, obviously, Trey McBride's not going anywhere. But Michael Wilson, to me, is someone that at this point in the season, I would, if you need a wide receiver, I would consider dropping the fab on him.
Is Brissett that much better than Kyler, or is it the simple fact that he is a head and shoulder taller than Kyler that's making the difference?
Oh my gosh. I think he just understands the assignment. That's, I will say it's definitely bad for Bryce Young, though, is trying to help out the short Kings, because Kyler is helping him take a step back.
I didn't realize Brissett was 6'4". He's taller than I would have imagined. I figured he was closer to 6'2". But yeah, he's a big fella.
That's how he keeps getting these jobs.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison had the his appendix removed. Possibly longer is the quote I'm seeing, you know, out for week 11, possibly longer. There's a chance he could be back this week, but if he's out, yeah, Michael Wilson seems like a smash play. Zay Jones tore his Achilles. Greg Dortch is just a slot guy. He had the great matchup against the Niners. We kind of talked about they're one of the worst against them. So yeah, Michael Wilson going forward, I think that's a great call.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and that's just the biggest thing is, like, how quickly does Marvin Harrison Jr. come back from the appendicitis? I think Arizona is going to take a look at their season, kind of just figure out, it's like, what are we doing? We don't have a quarterback anymore because Kyler is, you know, that's not going to continue. So I wouldn't be surprised to just let him shut down Harrison Jr. and just let it ride. At least that's what I'm hoping with my fab bucks in my hand.
All right, my guy, I'm tired of bringing him up because I feel like a broken record here. But when will the respect come? From old boy Christian Watson here, four games, hasn't been below 45 yards, scored two touchdowns this past week. Look, a lot of, like, the work Josh Jacobs is now
gone. Right.
Tucker Kraft is gone for the season. Like, someone needs to produce with Jordan Love, and it's Christian Watson. He's the big, fast player. Everybody, like, hampers him for the hamstring injuries. We haven't had a hamstring injury in 2 years. He got that fixed last offseason. Let's go grab him. He's a great wide receiver three. He presents upside, the big plays. He is the perfect player to have as your wide receiver three or a flex player. Go get Christian Watson. Let's clean him up.
Oh, you're right. I hate to admit it, because you were, when we talked about it, it's like, who do we even start out of the Green Bay wide receivers? I said none. You nailed it. Christian Watson. He's the perfect wide receiver three, right? Like, you're absolutely, if he doesn't get his two touchdowns, no skin off your back. It turns out when those fast guys get the ball in space, sometimes they get two touchdowns. So I love that call, begrudgingly.
Right. As long as it's not Kyle Pitts and Christian Watson, we're good.
Oh, my gosh. My nightmare situation.
Nice. One other. For us?
Yeah, one other guy. This is the last guy, actually, in my top five. That's Darnell Mooney. So it's been bad for Atlanta fans. I believe they've lost five straight games, like, he got swept by division rival, the Panthers. Michael Penix, we talked about him. He's out for the season. Drake London's missing at least a game with his PCL sprain. So Darnell Mooney, maybe this is wishful thinking that we have another Michael Wilson situation on our hands. But you got to think the backup quarterback, the wide receiver one is out. Like, I'm just reading the stars of what happened with Michael Wilson. So, but in seriousness, I do think Darnell Mooney can kind of benefit of just being the top guy. Kirk Cousins, I think he just wants to, he has too much pride that he's playing with, and you're just looking at who are the pass catching options for Atlanta. It's Bijan, who I expect to continue to get his work. Kyle Pitts, so that doesn't scare you in terms of targets or production. So I like Darnell Mooney. I think he's going to pick up the slack there.
Nice. Let me give It's the Browns. It's Browns folks who bring that in here. But Cedric Tillman, we look like we're finally back.
Yeah.
Two games removed from the injury. Two games, he's averaging 70% snap shared. He's involved. 12-team leagues. You need some fill-ins. We've got some injuries, some bye weeks. I think you can do a lot worse than Cedric Tillman.
I agree. He's someone early in the season we were really high on. Maybe because it was Flacco tossing him the rock, but even still. Yeah, it kind of depends. Like we talk about Judkins. It's just like, who's the quarterback there? Because if it's going to be Shador this upcoming week, I don't know if I could stomach a pass catcher on the Browns.
And look, Shador's getting a lot of hate. It wasn't pretty out there, but he was the backup. You know, usually we see this. Sometimes we get some flashes from the backup when they step in, but maybe not necessarily from the rookie. The rookie who is getting no prep time, none of that.
Dylan Gabriel
should be in concussion protocol the entire week. I imagine he'll miss this next week. I don't know why you wouldn't use this to transition to Shador anyway. Give it a shot to see what you have. So a full week of practice, I think it's worth a shot anyway. Hey, he had one great pass to Harold Fannin. There was one that might just be the fact that Harold Fannin is a magician and just all of a sudden appears middle of the field. He's wide open. But either way, I'm holding out some hope. Possibly could get some fireworks there.
I like it. I like Tillman.
Next one, I want to talk about Luther Burden III. Finally, he outsnaps Zacchaeus. We saw him as the number two on the team when it came to first read targets. I think we're finally hitting that transition. This kid is unreal. You watch his highlight tapes from last year. I'm trying to find another word other than just electric, the spark plug. That just what you get from him. So good out there. I can't wait to see how they work him more when they get the ball to him in space. But Luther Burden could be a player that you get some long-term, you know, usage from, some big upsides here as we go into the playoffs.
I like that a lot. Like if it's someone where, you know, Michael Wilson, I think is someone you kind of blow your fab on, like he has that potential. But if we're already used our fab or we're just looking for, you know, more like diamonds in the rough, like I think that's a great look ahead pick is Luther Burden III.
As we talked about London being out, Cardale Hodges looks like he might be the guy that we're going to be plugging in there. Mooney, of course, we don't know. He's up and down with the injuries, but if he's out there, I think it's going to be Hodges, the other guy you look at. I don't know if you want to, like, Kirk Cousins hasn't looked awesome, so I don't even know if I want to play that game. Maybe it's just you fingers crossed Kyle Pitts gets more work, but this could get really ugly, or it's going to just be the Bijan show, Bijan and Algier.
I think that's what I think that very well could be.
I got Jaden one Higgins, last the rookie for Houston.
Yes. Continue. Here's my last one.
Take it.
Oh man. I just piling on to what you're saying. So Higgins is looking great. Maybe this is just the Davis Mills effect, but the second week in a row, he's finishing right around that wide receiver two mark. He's currently wide receiver 30 on the week. So a little bit low, but I feel like it was a bad week for wide receiver, 7.5 points. It just seemed he's just someone, the consistent number two, right? Like, I was a little worried that it just kind of juggles around. Like 1 week it's Hutchinson, 1 week it's Higgins. But Higgins, 2 weeks in a row, he's looked pretty solid. 7 targets in both of them. So he's someone, again, if we're talking just like these deeper looks, he's rostered in about 19% of leagues. So as a deep option, wide receiver 3, I like him.
Nice. I've got to bring up Tyrell Shavers, of course, for the Bills.
Do we? Do we?
I don't even know what I'm like bringing him up name to know somewhere to monitor. I don't know if we're making a move for it. Khalil Shakir, how much was he injured going into this game?
Yeah.
Coleman, you're hearing talks of immaturity.
Is he going to be on
like that all over? Yeah. Like, what do we do? And it's also a Bills wide receiver. Do we really want to own these? I thought we went over this.
I don't think so. Yeah. We're in the deeper ones. We're in the 16 mans. We're in like the reverse chop leagues. We're talking about him where it's like people are getting added every week. So.
And then if you do have multiple bench spots, you're maybe not multiple, it's just, you know, you're looking to plug in some big opportunities, looking for a rookie that could blossom. Pat Bryant for the Broncos is slowly ramping up more and more. It all depends on Bo Nix, whether I'm actually interested in this or not. It's a big issue we have with Troy Franklin and Sutton. But Pat Bryant, I mean, the coach, they took him way, way earlier than they should have in the third round. But Sean Payton talks about him with Michael Thomas in his mouth at the same time. So who knows? Kyle Williams as well for the Patriots. We're starting to see him get more and more involved in this offense. Right now, Stephon Diggs has been a stud since week 3 as far as just his production with him. But Kyle Williams, another name to know and just continue to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. The only thing about Kyle Williams, it may or may not matter, but we talked about it. Booties should be returning to practice this week. And it just has shades of a Buffalo / Green Bay wide receiver room where it's like, yes, Diggs seems like he's been the guy, but it feels like every other week it's just like, and here's this fourth stringer I never heard of, you know, just walk on from Iowa, just came out here and caught the two touchdowns.
And honestly, when they've got a running back scoring three touchdowns, it's kind of hard for anybody else to get anything done. Drake May was mid despite his top 12 finish. I think he was top 12. Yeah. And then Diggs just barely got it through. No touchdown, but with 100 yards. So, but they play the Bengals this week.
Everybody gets the Bengals ball.
Excited. Any other wide receivers you want to bring up?
That's it. I mean, Higgins was my last one. After we once we start talking about shavers, to me, it's like, okay, we're just there. You know, that's it. That's enough, guys.
Right. We hit that certain point where it's just like, it's just names to know. Names to know.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to quarterbacks. Who are we looking at this week? Some great streaming options for the people.
A couple great ones. I mean, the first guy I'm going to talk about, Jacoby Brissett, he's looked great, you know, early on. We, you know, back in week 9, he had 25 points, basically. And we're like, oh, maybe it's just the Dallas effect. Goes to Seattle, a very solid defense. Again, quarterback 10 finish this past week, quarterback 3. He's hosting Jacksonville again. Jacksonville, not a defense you're afraid of in terms of quarterbacks. He's rostered in only about 20% of leagues. I really like Brissett here. I mean, we talked about the teams that are on by, you know, the Broncos, the Chargers, like those guys probably let you down this past week, but I think it could be a huge upgrade going Brissett this week.
It's weird.
He's the real deal.
It's weird riding this train, but I'm here for it until it's not.
I mean, if we're just talking about other guys in the top three finishes rostered in less than 20% of leagues, it's him or Bryce Young. Which guy do we feel more safe about?
Well, Bryce Young, you want to monitor that ankle injury a bit. They do get San Francisco, who has been the worst team getting pressure on the quarterback, which is one of his issues, you know, since Nick Bosa went away. So Bryce Young actually could be a decent streamer this week as well. Definitely something to keep an eye on. Davis Mills, he gets Buffalo this week. Harder matchup, but I don't know. Who knows? Nobody knows anything at this point of the season.
He's been understanding the assignment. Again, like, just get the ball to Nico, and every game with Buffalo feels like it's a shootout because their defense is a little shaky right now.
Yeah, Daniel Jones gets a hard matchup against Kansas City, but he's low-owned, and then just going into coming out of the bye. I mean, you know, it could be picked up. Joe Flacco, as far as the streaming goes, we might be coming back to earth a little bit. He gets New England, so it's not a great matchup, but it's really hard to run in New England, so they might be forced to just toss the rock left and right. But no Jamar Chase, so.
Yeah, no Jamar Chase, I don't like. I don't like. Last guy, I mean, Jameis Winston, he finished pretty poorly, quarterback 18 on the week. He's going at Detroit next week. I feel like Detroit's ready to put up some points. That's going to make Jameis's eyes light up. I think he's going to force a lot of things. So I think it's going to be a 3-for-3 game where it's 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. So I don't hate the Jameis this upcoming week.
Yeah, it is only Monday when we're recording this, getting the news. Jackson Dart's still in concussion protocol, but franchise guy, he's been banged up. He's been in, early suspected for a concussion multiple times, so I think it would be their best bet to let Jameis start another game.
Agreed.
Let's go to tight end. It's not pretty, folks. It really isn't pretty this week.
Yeah, I mean, I see one guy I like, but I mean, you're our tight end expert, so I feel like of all the ones, this is the one you have the floor.
I think Juwan Johnson is the one I'm most excited about. Coming out of the bye week, there's a good chance you can pick him up off waivers. He's a big part of that offense. Alvin Kamara is, you know, this is the swan song, I think, possibly for Kamara. So besides Olave, it is Juwan Johnson that is getting so much of that work. So I think he is a sneaky pickup, sneaky play for you.
Oh, he was my top tight end, like head and shoulders above who else is remaining. Since week 7, Juwan Johnson is tight end 8. And, of course, the Saints were on bye last week. He's averaging just under 12 points per game. So I'm really impressed with Juwan Johnson. I think he is, like you said, Olave for sure. But I think Juwan Johnson's that second bright spot.
Divisional game against Atlanta. The defense is shaky. They're good at times. They're good at getting after the quarterback. So a great dump off for Tyler Shuck. Other guys I have, Darren Waller, keep an eye on him. Greg Dulcich, I was hoping he was going to be a thing this past week. Didn't really come to fruition. Dropped a touchdown there. So that kind of ruined my streaming day for him. But Darren Waller, keep an eye on him. AJ Barner, he had a great week. You know, Arroyo is the rookie, is nipping at his heels, but AJ Barner came out there and he did some business. Brenton Strange also coming out of IR this past week. He is another name to keep monitoring because we really don't know how this passing offense is going to fully function there in Jacksonville. And Colson Loveland. he's talented, so he is more a streamer you're putting out there just hoping that the matchup looks good. But I mean, Cole Kmet finished in the top 10 this week, so that can happen any week.
Yes. Brent Strange was the biggest one out of that group that I really liked, just because his roster percentage is so low, about 18%. And before he did get injured, just looking at his last two fully healthy games, 7 targets each, 6 receptions in both of them. So like you mentioned, this is like, what is this? It's a totally different pass offense, right? Like Parker Washington's evolved. They traded for the guy from Seattle, Jacoby Myers, thank you, from Vegas. I mean, so there is just, we don't know how it's going to look, but the cost of entry is just so low for a Strange.
I love that. Defenses, who is your favorite stream of the week? Or give me a couple of them if you got multiple.
I do have a couple. So just looking ahead, I didn't have that tab open. Hand up.
Goodness, Mario, what do you
I know. People? I know. Defenses. I know. They do. The people need defenses. So I don't have the roster percentages. So I'm just going to start rattling off a couple. But the Seahawks defense, they're playing the Titans. That's the numero uno thing that we are targeting. After, I think Seahawks might be rostered in quite a few, though. They're a pretty good defense. This one should not be. It's the Raiders. They're playing, of course, they're right around the time we're recording. They're playing the Cowboys, so I don't know how bad or good they're going to look. But they're going to take on the Browns next week, especially if it's going to be Shador. Like, we just don't know. Again, a full week of practice, but you just like the matchup against the rookie's first start. And my last one is going to be the Ravens. Again, they could be someone that may be rostered probably close to 50%, but they're taking on the Jets. They're taking on Tyrod Taylor and his first start is the Jets. You know, how much better could the situation be there? So those are probably my top three I'm looking at.
Cleveland a little closer to that 50% mark, depending on the platform. But I think they've got one of the best matchups going against Vegas. They are one of the best defenses out there. And it's Geno.
It's Geno.
Who knows how well he's going to look tonight playing against Dallas, but it's Geno. He's still going to make his mistakes. This offense still is flawed. So I think Cleveland has to be considered up there. Let me get your thoughts on this one. A divisional matchup.
Oh.
Said a backup quarterback was playing in this divisional matchup.
Ooh.
But there's kind of a shaky defense. Are we playing the Saints against Kirk Cousins and the Falcons with no Drake London?
Oh, man. The Saints are someone I feel like I've tried to time the market with them, and I think that they just keep hurting me. So I'm trying to just look at how they've been in their past couple games. No, they were actually good. Okay, no, speaking of time in the market, they were actually good at Carolina. I think that was one I was looking at because it was when Carolina were favorites, and it's just like they're not good as favorites. I don't know why, but they got 12 points at Carolina. So like you said, fresh off the bye, Kirk Cousins, I think that's a very sneaky one, and I see them rostered in less than 10%.
Yeah, I can't think of many times where people are going to lean on the Saints for a defensive play, but I was in a few situations this past week where like I couldn't find a defense that I could confidently play that was going to get me 6-7 points. So I don't know if they necessarily lose it for you. Like, I mean, Kirk Cousins has only looked good in the red and black when playing against the Buccaneers, and that's not the Saints. So I think I get it done. Like, if they can shut down Bijan, then Kirk is going to have to win them the game somehow.
And I don't think he can. So you say that, but then I'm also like, I have the PTSD from when the Eagles, I think it was the first time they made it to the Super Bowl and lost to the Chiefs, but they lost in prime time to Kirk Cousins and the Falcons. And like, it was just like the perfect storm. It's like, the Eagles don't lose to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins bad in prime time. And so I'm less like, I'm a little scarred from that. So yeah, I respect Kirk.
He's had a lot of time to build up his Kirk cash to drop him out there. So.
Oh,
could be an issue. And then Minnesota, I believe, they play Green Bay. If Jordan Love is for some reason to miss this game, we've seen him play. The backup, it's Huntley, correct? We've seen him go out there. And play.
Oh, Millis, right? Or, Malik Willis?
Willis, there we go. Huntley, that's way too deep.
Huntley, yeah. Willis, Huntley,
yeah, we saw him play decently last year, filling in for Love. McFleur, I am all over. Way too late to record here. But we saw LaFleur come up with a pretty decent game plan to put him in an ability to succeed. But Minnesota, they can get after the quarterback. They can pressure him, make him make dumb decisions. So pick sixes could be looming in that one if Jordan Love doesn't play.
I love it. I love it a lot. And I'm doing some more like deep research on the Saints because you kind of perked up my interest. The Saints have one of the best playoff schedules of all defenses. Like, I'm just looking week 15, They play the Panthers, which, you know, they had a really good showing the last time they played. Week 16, the Jets. Week 17, the Titans.
Wow.
The Saints might be the defensive. I'm just saying, if you're looking to lock up, you know, like you have Jonathan Taylor, you're running away with like the seeding of the regular fantasy season, I drop a bench spot on the Saints defense.
Yeah, because they may not win it for you, but there's no way they're losing for you, right? I mean, Justin Fields, he might be back to playing because at this point, Tyrod's got the start, but
who knows what
the quarterback situation is there. Garrett Wilson could be back by then, possibly. And then, yeah, Tennessee, Cam Ward, Calvin Ridley's out for the season. It's gloom. Gloom and doom there.
So the Saints, you might have just this is one of those write this down. Yeah, oh man. I got to make sure the people in my leagues don't listen to this, which I know they don't, but that way I get the cheap fab pickup on them.
Awesome. What else you got for the people?
Oh my goodness. That's it. I mean, I think that about does it. I mean, we can't do any trade deadline talk because in most leagues the trade deadline was this past week. So I guess if it isn't, we're sorry we're not helping you guys out, but I mean, that's it. That's it, Brian. Any closing notes or we're getting into outros?
Folks, we're getting out of here. We've got to shut it down. We got the booms, the busts, the injuries, and the waiver wires as we do every single Tuesday morning coming at you here on the QB List podcast feed. Don't forget to don't miss Jay and company when he's hitting it hard early Monday with the recap there. We've got Brett and company on the Wednesday show. You'll hear Mario and I back on Friday. And then, of course, the Saturday deep dive that we have sneaking in you. Mario, if the people are looking for more of you, where can they find you and your amazing work?
Oh, well, thank you. It is amazing. You can find me at Twitter, at Mario Damo Jr. That's JR. You will find me twice a week doing the pods here. Brian already mentioned it, though, but Friday morning, you'll hear the sit start as well as you're listening to the waiver wire and recap now Tuesday mornings. Also, Tuesday mornings, I drop my waiver wire article through the wire. It's a really great post over at football.pitcherlist.com. I go into a little bit more of a deep dive over most of the names we talk about here. And that's me, Brian. They need more of you, not more of your Christmas tree, because, again, we respect Thanksgiving, but where do we find more, Brian?
It's going to be at @too_much_Brian is where all my work will be run through on my Twitter page, whether it be my stuff here at the QB List or I've got my own show, Too Much Fantasy Football, for just a little bit more of the shenanigans with your football takes. But yes, come on over here, football.pitcherlist.com. We've got the waiver wire. We've got streaming articles. We've got all the great stuff. Thank you all for listening. Like, subscribe. We'll see you all next time.
Peace.